But as I began to dig deeper and deeper, a disturbing pattern emerged. Over and over and over again, I would find one blinding insight, one novel innovation after another, having been anticipated by St. Augustine, Justin Martyr, Thomas Aquinas, a pope here or a pope there. And it was shaking me up more and more every time I would find that these Catholic scholars had anticipated all of these novel breakthroughs that I was coming up with through this intense, in-depth scripture study. I got the feeling like I was reinventing the wheel. Well, it happened 10, 15, 20, 25 times. I was going through the book of Hebrews, which is very difficult, going through the book of John, which is very sacramental. And my students were beginning to get a sense that this was not what you would call historic, traditional Presbyterianism. In fact, my sharpest student, a girl named Rebecca, came up to me at lunch one day in high school, and she said, we took a vote in the back corner of the classroom, and it's unanimous. We all think you're going to become a Catholic. Chills ran up and down my spine, you know, broke out in a sweat. A nervous laugh. Oh, you guys are funny. No. What I'm giving you is the antidote to Catholicism. You know, the antidote. And, they were quite sure that wasn't the case. I went home that afternoon and I said to my wife, Kimberly, you'll never guess what Rebecca and her friend said today at lunch. She said that I'm going to become a Roman Catholic. Can you believe that? She was standing there staring. Are you? And I said, honey, how could you say that? I mean, what a betrayal of your confidence and your trust in me as a pastor, as a teacher, as a student, a scholar, a Catholic. I am the most anti-Catholic of them all, you know? And she said, I sometimes wonder if you're not Luther in reverse. I had nothing to say. I just kind of walked back to my study, dazed, bewildered, and confused. Luther in reverse. The words were reverberating in my mind. Luther in reverse. God forbid. But I went back and I said, I remember praying a prayer over and over again. I will do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I will say whatever you want me to say. I will go wherever you want me to go. And I will believe whatever you teach. So I try to keep a completely open heart and mind to sacred scripture and the Holy Spirit. And whatever source would lead me to deeper insight into the Bible. So I began to teach more and more all about this kind of thing. So much that my church got excited. The session came to me and the elders asked, why don't you completely readapt the liturgy? I said, liturgy? Presbyterians don't do liturgy. Well, you talk so much about liturgy, why don't you change ours to fit the biblical pattern? All right, you know, because you want it. And they said, well, we want it because of what you've been teaching us. I said, that's fair enough. So I studied for several weeks, for a couple months, and I began to see that my liturgy began to resemble more and more of what I'd heard about the Mass. I'd never been to a Mass. I never wanted to be to a Mass, but people were telling me, oh, I was once a Catholic, and we used to do that too. We used to say that prayer. We used to do that, you know. I brought in this practice of having communion every week instead of four times a year, which was the Presbyterian custom at the time. And the congregation flipped. They loved it. And then after the benediction, after we got out, most of the people in the parish, it was small, but most of the people would actually stay around and have a kind of picnic lunch outside or inside if the weather required it. But the whole introduction of liturgy brought such a sense of community, such a sense of worship, divine majesty, God's holiness, and the living, practical relevance of the Bible. And that's the way it was in my parish. And then in my seminary classroom, it was the same way. I had been asked, you know, by the seminary trustees to come back and teach four classes instead of just one in the summer. So I did that, and the seminarians were going great guns. They were enthusiastic, only I couldn't tell them that what they were really enthusiastic about was not necessarily historic Presbyterian doctrine, but what I was finding in the Bible, which the Roman Catholics had also discovered somehow, somewhere along the way.